The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey Houston, Conn's prices are invincible. That means prices have been cut low, as in amazingly low, as in won't be beat. In fact, we're backing it up with our low price guarantee. Invincible prices on appliances, furniture, electronics, mattresses, and more. Not invincible enough for you? How about free next day delivery on appliances, TVs, and mattresses? And payment options for everyone, whether you have good credit or building it. Visit Conn's today and find out what invincible feels like.
Welcome to the Growler, a Hootay podcast hosted by Paul Dana and other ball friends like Mo Egger, Dave Nanemets, home of all your Bengals breaks, takes. Welcome to the Growler.
Oh, there it is. Welcome into the Growler, and it is our free agent day one recap. Myself, Dave Nanemets here on a day where it's just so many things happening at once. It's really, I feel like the NFL is usually good at spreading everything out and soaking every little bit out of every possible piece of news. And then there's today, and it's just there it all is.
Yeah. Just rapid fire. As soon as you think like one thing's the big news story, then like 2 minutes later, something else happens. And then 2 minutes later, something else happens.
Many things happened today. We're going to kind of go from a Bengals perspective. We're recording this here. You have to timestamp everything because you know, when you're in the podcast space, it changes so quickly. But we're recording kind of a day recap because hopefully Mike Brown isn't waking up in the middle of the night and firing off moves that he wants to see made. I don't think that will be the case. But if you listen in the mornings, he's probably already up, had his breakfast, and it's 6:30 now, and he's looking to make things happen. So depending on when you're listening to this, maybe some things have changed, but it's 9:15 on Monday night, day one of free agency, as Dave and I are going to kind of recap what happened here today. Doing a podcast with Mo tomorrow, late morning, be up around lunchtime. We're going to dive a little more into the T. Higgins thing there. Obviously, news of the day jumped the gun on us. Everyone's sitting around. I was getting my warm-up stretches in, you know. I was cracking my knuckles and like doing my yoga, you know, my free agency yoga to keep myself in a good, healthy place. And all of a sudden, out comes T. Higgins requests trade a couple hours before we hit even the free agency tampering period starting. And off we went, spiraling into the good night. And you know, Dave, this is something that I think we could have seen, we kind of saw coming. You know, you never quite see the like full trade request coming, but again, when you go back to what was said at the combine about we're going to rely on a relationship with T, they're going to get us through these hard times, we understand that there's frustration there, and that's going to be part of it. And what happened with Jesse Bates and what happened last year with Jonah Williams, it felt like this isn't and what we know of David Mulugeta, who's used these sort of tactics before as leverage, it's not, when you look at it that way, it's really not all that surprising that we get this and that we get it at the timing that we did.
Yeah, I agree. The thing that gets me that just looks so agent driven is everything that's come from T has been how much he likes it here, how much he likes the staff, how much he likes the team in the city. So, you know, if you really wanted, you could probably step in and make it work. But when you have a hard line agent who goes by his playbook, I think that's what you're going to get. So I really wasn't surprised by it, but it is, once you see it, it's kind of like, oh, reality kind of sets in that, you know, is he here that much longer?
Yeah. And, you know, there's a couple of things here that I think that you take into account with where it's at. And that is, you know, they're prepared to go through this. This isn't going to shake anybody's boots. This isn't going to change the Bengals' line of thought really all that much. They've done this before. I mentioned Jesse Bates. No, I don't know that he officially requested a trade, but didn't show up through preseason, threatened not to play on the tag, didn't show up through training camp, and showed up and played well. Jonah Williams, the moment they signed Orlando Brown, requested a trade, was mad, spouted off, but eventually came, put on a happy face, played right tackle, played well, made himself some money. Both those guys made money, and no one's going to not play. Like, just let's just make sure we continue to emphasize this in case you haven't over the last 2 or 3 years. T. Higgins is not going to pass on $21.8 million. Like, that's just not a thing that's going to happen. And so everybody knows at the end of the day where this will end up if the Bengals don't trade him. There's no real threat there, and that hurts the leverage outside of I'm going to create a distraction along the way to eventually playing for you.
Yeah. Well, and you get the impression, I mean, he's not a guy that's just generally disgruntled either. You know, it's not like this is something that's been barreling toward this and he's been outspoken the whole time. He seems like a guy that would love for this to pan out. And if it doesn't pan out, you know, he moves on to the next thing. But I don't sense anything from him. Not to mention, if you go out and have a good year, you're just raising your stock next year if you're able to go walk. So, you know, I think he would be the kind of guy that would show up and want to win and go with one last run with these guys.
Yep. And as we said in the very beginning with this thing, the Bengals are fielding offers. Like if someone wants to come blow them away, they're not going to be the one that's going to take a nice win-win on this one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to say, if you want T. Higgins, you're going to have to pay for it. Not just him, but us. Okay. And find a way to make that work. They'll listen. If a team is willing to do something, if, you know, the Panthers, who just traded Brian Burns and cleared cap and added some draft capital, want to come and use it to try to acquire a target for Bryce Young, they're listening, okay? Like, but it's got to be something that feels overwhelming for them to give up the one more ride that I think that they're interested in doing with T. Higgins.
What do you think that is? It's probably something you're going to get into with Mo tomorrow, but what do you think that looks like?
I think it's more than I see out there. I you know, if it's not a one and a decent one, it's definitely two. Like, I think if you're in the one range, we've seen sort of the T range being brought up as from about 25 to 35, mm-hmm. whatever, 40. And I think, okay, fine. Yeah, if you're at the very top of that range, your and change doesn't need to be so significant. But I think they're still going to want and change, even if it's somebody, you know, at 25 overall.
Yeah.
If it's Carolina with 33, I think that they're looking for a couple of day twos, 33 and another day two. They're looking for 65. They're looking for the newly acquired 39, I guess, that they just got from the Giants. They're looking for 2 day two. I mean, to me, that's bowled over by a deal. That's when you get blown away. That's when you say, okay, this is worth it. Now not only do you clear the $21.8 million off of your cap that you can go spend, but 2 day twos. And what we're going to talk about next, they just got a comp pick handed them day three. Let's think about that draft now, okay? Let's think about if you had 2 day twos, you now would have 4 day two picks and number 18 overall. You're cooking with gas. Okay. Yeah. Like you're rolling to fill all the holes that you want to fill, including a couple of wide receivers that could get you moving in the right direction. But that's the T. Higgins thing. We'll dive further into that a little bit tomorrow as a discussion point with Mo with whatever else happens, but a lot else happened today. So let's start with Geno Stone. So if you've been listening for a while, you know, this one just has made really too much sense from the very beginning. You're talking about a guy who is not yet 25 years old, who is an ascending type of player that had a great year in his first really kind of full year, really doing it with Baltimore. 7 interceptions, great in coverage, and looks like, and you get him at a great deal. You get 2 years, really, it's 2 years, it's 15. It amounts to 1 year, 7.5 with a team option, essentially.
Yeah.
Is real the way that it's structured. The base salary is only basically a vet minimum this year, but there's bonuses. If he makes a Pro Bowl, there's $500,000 bonus each year, possibly. It's a great deal. And this is right in that range that we pinpointed, Dave. This is the Bengals sweet spot, mid-tier, the sort of 3-4% in average annual value of the salary cap. This is where they've lived with Bell, with Awuzie, with Hilton, all these types of guys. I mentioned the Trey Hendrickson comp last week because the ascending player who's kind of done it at every chance but not fully been given a chance for 1 year, you bet on it early and you get the payoff on it. That could be a hell of a bargain deal if Geno Stone continues playing like he did last year. You steal from a division rival. Man, it checks a lot. It made so much sense. And now you add the intelligent, savvy player on the back end to help stop all of those explosives. That was such a big issue last year with all those young guys.
Yeah, and you have to be proud of yourself, by the way. This was one you felt strongly about.
No doubt.
What did you think, and this is something you might want to get into later, but what did you think when you saw the Von Bell news? That came out before this. Were you thinking that could be a route they go, or now do you think that closes the door on that being a possibility?
I don't think that they are closing the door on it. Yeah. It depends what happens with Von. There's so many safeties out there still. A lot of safeties got paid today, way more than I thought. There was, you know, the question was sort of, are any safeties going to get paid when you saw so many, how many were out there? And then they did. Like Xavier McKinney's deal is huge. Some of these other deals, like Darnell Savage got a decent deal. So some of these deals that were out there were pretty big. And so there's still a lot left though. So what's left? What's if Von Bell is looking for a team, like they're not going to close the door to Von Bell coming back here and being, if he's willing to not start, okay, and then you let go of Nick Scott, and so I don't think that it's out of the question. Unlikely now that they have Geno Stone, but it wouldn't be in a starting role or anything like that. But I did think that was an interesting thing. I mean, look, Vaughn. A lot of things have been said about Vaughn since he left, but the Bengals loved him. They bemoaned how much they missed him, Vaughn. I talked to Vaughn maybe hours before free agency started last year on this podcast or the old podcast. Mm-hmm. And he talked about, you know, money in the Bengals and really enjoying Cincinnati and could see himself being back there. I stood in front of Vaughn when he cried for like 10, 15 minutes after they lost to Kansas City and about how much he loved the guys he was playing with and doesn't want to see this thing disbanded. Like, there's love in his heart for the people that are here in Cincinnati, no matter what is out there. So the idea of him coming back here wouldn't be out of the question. But like with Geno Stone, yeah, that seems unlikely. But it was a surprising move because there was no sense that Carolina was going to get rid of Von Bell. That feels like that move was them understanding that they might be landing a Justin Simmons or one of these other guys out there. Like, okay, we got a roster bonus coming on Vaughn. Let's count on that. We'll get one of these other guys that we like a little bit better and you can move and you can maybe, you know, account for it that way. That felt like that was part of that.
Yeah. And I, like you said, once Geno Stone was announced, you know, then it was like, well, this was the guy they needed to go get. It just, I thought it was interesting that Von Bell's name suddenly was out there. And you got to think, even as a backup, Lou Anarumo would probably sleep a little better.
No doubt.
Von Bell around. But I think he's probably going to sleep a little better at night with Geno Stone around. I love the Trey Hendrickson comparison, which always sounds kind of weird at first because, you know, obviously very different positions. But is you know there's people in New Orleans that are like, how do we let that guy get away? And you wonder if people in Baltimore who are going to have to face him twice a year are going to be saying the same thing.
Cool background, just from kind of talking to Jeff Zriebeck, who wrote a great feature on Geno Stone last season that I tweeted out that you can go read about his background. Orlando Brown tweeted about his like out of the mud story. I mean, he was a dude that absolutely was just not given a chance and earned it at every single level. He's just no, he didn't really have offers to go to college. He didn't really have offers to college, get in the NFL. He was cut by the Ravens and let go and got out of Houston to get back to Baltimore. But every chance he's gotten, he's taken advantage of it. Now, like, it's just one of those things where he's not the most athletic guy. You're giving up some of the athleticism for a guy that just finds the ball. He just knows where to go. He has that football savvy back there and keeps finding a way. And he's done that every time he's gotten a chance. He's not been highly recruited or sought after because he's not the greatest athlete. He's had some tackling issues, but it wasn't say a huge liability there. And you can play him in ways that you're not exposing him to that all the time. But when he's back there, he just finds a way to make plays. And the Bengals want guys that are going to make turnovers, that are going to know where the ball is. And you know, let me guess, this is a bit, maybe it's a knee-jerk reaction after a year of a bunch of fast guys that ran the wrong way. But, like, how about the guy who's maybe not as fast but always runs the right way? And that feels like a little bit of what the Geno Stone target and acquisition ended up being for them. What this means for Dax Hill, of course, we've discussed that a lot. Wrote a story about how this is really a pivot point in the offseason. We'll see. The third safety, Trey Flowers' role covering tight ends thing has been brought up. I don't know that that certainly could be it. I just know we've gone through a year of talking about Dax Hill will play as the third safety before, and he plays like three snaps a game doing that. Like, we've talked about Lou Anarumo wanting to have three safeties and versatility before, and it's never really happened. And so I'll believe that when I see it. So it's certainly possible you could put him in that role and start there and say, and you're Mike Hilton's backup and slot of the future and all of that stuff. Maybe that's what it ends up being. Maybe they do give him a shot to see what he looks like at outside corner. It's something that they have said that they're willing to try with him before. We'll see exactly what it means, but I the idea that Dax is still going to be a starting safety amongst the two is gone. It's Battle and Geno Stone. That's who it's going to be back there. And the rest is going to be about creativity at this juncture. They're not done yet. I mean, we're day one. There's day one of the offseason, a long way to go, but I think you will probably see movement in Dax's future there. Not the only thing today, obviously. Drew Sample also re-signs an extension, 3-year deal, 10.5 for Drew, 4.9 in year one. Good for you. They said that they really like the role that Drew Sample plays and it's important to him. And they feel like he's a really valuable part of the team. And they backed it up. They paid him like one. I don't know. I don't think they were bidding against themselves necessarily, but I think he had some market. I think people saw what he did last year and see where this is a really good tight end too. Okay. Yeah. Who can do a lot of different stuff for you. And that's important. And I think that got him paid. That got him paid here and brought him back.
I will say, though, when your fan base is watching everybody else scoop up big names and the first two you say are Cody Ford and Drew Sample, doesn't really ignite a lot of excitement. So it's a good thing Geno Stone came along.
I feel like Drew Sample is such a victim of timing. Like, this always happens. He was a second round pick. He's not a sexy player, right? Like, he's a tight end two doing dirty work stuff, like who's like a good team guy, right? Like, it's not an exciting thing. And he was a second round pick and he had to be the guy announced while everyone was signing people on day one of free agency. Like, it's not fair to him. He's just, that's who he is. And they value that. And a lot of teams value that. Look at the tight ends that they get. Like, a lot of these guys that were kind of versatile tight ends got paid well today. We saw Noah Fant came off the board. I know a popular name amongst some Bengals fans, but yeah, I mean, he got, what was it? 2 for $21. I mean, a nice deal for him. I mean, a lot of these tight ends got paid. Parkinson got paid. All the Seahawks tight ends got paid. Like, you got, these guys got decent amounts. So they're willing, to pay the guys that they feel like fit your system, a decent amount of money, and Drew Sample was one of those. It goes on here. So we also have Akeem Davis Gaither is back, 1 year, $3 million. That's a guy that Darren Simmons was very adamant about, like, you know, with, first of all, they needed to sign some, all their depth linebackers were up. They need to make sure they were bringing somebody back there. And he's their top special teamer out of that group. He's the guy you're most comfortable with if an injury happens to Logan Wilson or Jermaine Pratt. Kind of the deal is weird. 1 year, $3 million is more than I would have thought of, and I wouldn't have thought of just been for 1 year. I would have probably thought like 2 years, three or four for mm-hmm. ADG. But hey, good for him. You know, he probably was looking to play defense somewhere since he's been unable to do that here and kind of been on the cusp. But maybe the money made that a little more worthwhile and gave him the flexibility to leave if a better offer to play somewhere comes along next year. So good for ADG. Travion Williams got an extension coming back, adding to the running back room. Again, a lot of things are going to happen in that running back room still, and there's no for sure that Travion will make the team. He'll still have to win a battle in camp to make that money. So there, we'll see a lot's going to happen between the draft, free agency, whatever's going to happen with Joe Mixon. All that stuff is still hanging out there. So just one minor bit to keep in mind there. The other thing, Dave, and I mentioned earlier, the Bengals add a comp pick today.
Yeah.
Multi-billion dollar league, Dave, that we cover. I mean, there every team has like 15 data analysts, and everybody's watching every move. I mean, it's like every possible margin you could find. The league is just printing money to the point that they're just blowing cap expectations out of the water. So much money to go around. Everyone's so smart. Everyone's got it figured out. And they can't even do comp pick math without my man Nick Corte having to call them out and be like, yeah, what are y'all doing? There's no way this works. You know? And so the Bengals went to the league and were like, we should have a three. When they got 2 sixes originally, he said, this shouldn't work. We should get the Jesse Bates three. And the league looked into it, and I'll be GD'd.
My bad. We're going to send out a oops memo in the morning. Burp, burp.
I mean, what is happening? Bengals happy. The Bengals are pretty. This is like, is it Monopoly? Like, the bank aired in your favor. Collect $200.
Yeah. Flip the chance card over, and it worked out well for community chest.
Yeah, the Bengals got the community chest, get a third round draft pick card. I mean, it's like, unbelievable.
Like Kruger Industrial Smoothing over there on Seinfeld. Yeah, Coco the monkey doing this for him.
It's unbelievable. Hire Nick. He seems to have a better handle on it than you guys do.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Bengals now add pick 97. They now have 3 day 2 picks. I mean, a top 100 pick. That is huge.
It is.
I mean, you're talking about, I mean, you never know if these things work out, but that's Jordan Battle last year. That's, you know, so many these guys. I mean, so think of all the different positions that they need to fill. A receiver. Look at all the receivers. I mean, pick 97, there's going to be a dude that can play for you, start for you year one around at receiver. Yeah. In this draft, all those dudes, you know, there's a lot. Running back, you could go in early on your favorite of the running backs in this draft. Tight end, you know, you get into that tight end range, you find somebody you really like, a traitsy. But, I mean, that's a valuable, valuable pick.
And if you want another piece to wheel and deal, if you want to move around in the draft. So
absolutely.
The more,
absolutely,
the better.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's huge to be able to get that.
Huge deal. And so so that comes down today as well. What else do we got? Okay, running back market. I don't understand what's happening. Like, I don't understand why teams are paying so much for these running backs. Like, okay, some guys are certainly good.
Well, the market overall, I mean, Barkley got a ton. Jacobs did really well. But the rest of them, it's not like the whole market went up a whole lot. It's just that
Swift and Pollard. I mean, Swift and Pollard coming out early, getting 3 years, 24, whatever the real money is on that, but some version of in that 7-8 range was surprising to me. Felt like a lot. Devin Singletary got a decent chunk from the Giants, a guy that we thought the Bengals might be targeting there. There were a lot of running backs that got paid.
Yeah.
And more than you, more just, and a little bit more than you probably would have thought, especially at the top of the market. Like, I'm just surprised to see any of these running backs, you know, crossing double figures in tens of millions of dollars per year. That's surprising to me.
I think the surprising one to me was DeAndre Swift goes to the Bears and they're willing to pay him $8 million a year. And they could have had David Montgomery stick around for $6 million a year. And if you look at the numbers, David Montgomery's had the better career so far. So I guess that's all hindsight's 2020. I think it's the fact that they were in such demand more than anything, because that's all we've heard for the last year is nobody wants these running backs. It's kind of funny that they're just kind of playing musical chairs. It's just one guy goes to that. They're just bouncing around. I got to ask you, you know, there's buzz out there about what happens with Joe Mixon. And we've talked for a while about whether he gets released. If they're going to release him, have they done him dirty by not letting him be a part of that day one and doing it sooner? Or are they waiting on a certain date?
I don't know if they've done him dirty necessarily. I mean, there's a lot of running backs unsigned. There's a lot of teams that are looking to sign running backs still out there. And it is within their rights, if they're doing that, to see if they sign somebody else first. They're not going to, if they're in a situation where they're saying, are we going to keep mixing and move on? Well, they want to make sure that they have bird in the hand, right? They want to know if they have somebody that they would like before they would potentially make that move. And if the market goes crazy and they don't get any of the guys that they want, they reserve the right to say, okay, we'll go back with Joe Mixon. Maybe, maybe that's certain. It's within their right until that roster bonus hits.
Yeah.
To do that. Did they do him dirty? I'm sure he'll think so.
He will, now that he listens to me putting it in his head.
Yeah, that's
right. Thanks, Estonian Nightmare, for reminding me. They did me dirty.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know that they have to concern themselves a ton with that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think his market, he may disagree. If he was out there, I don't think his market is going to be a day one, day two, day three deal, week one. I mean, I think that's not where he would probably most likely land anyway. And teams would be, if teams think Joe is good, they're going to be willing to pay for him. Like, that's just part of it, especially if he's out there by, you know, the deadline of the roster bonus. So I think there's a lot left to happen. And a lot of guys that are still out there as we speak here. Zach Moss is one that I know I had listed, and I've kind of been on from the beginning of, you know, just the type of guy that they would be looking for. You know, AJ Dillon is out there if they want to go big back. So there's plenty of guys out there that they can continue to look at. And there's lots of running backs that are in the musical chairs game right now. And so there's plenty of time for that to feel itself out. And this feels like this is where the Bengals usually enter anyway. Okay, the frenzy, free agent frenzy has happened. We frenzied, and everyone calms down after that. And a little more realistic deals start happening that end up more in the tier that the Bengals like to play at. And then they, you know, are more ready and apt to strike on those that are sitting there without a chair. And that's where they can be sitting there in a good spot. Former Bengals, now former Bengals ones, Chidobe Awuzie goes to Tennessee, follows Brian Callahan, looking to set the culture there. A nice deal for Chido. Congratulations for him. Three years. I think it was 33. I lost it here in front of me here. But a nice deal for him. And one where, you know, they're taking a bet on him regaining his full speed and, you know, physical health a full year and a half off the ACL. And Brian Callahan wants somebody who can show, you know, show everybody what kind of culture he wants to have down there. And that combination made sense with Chido being a guy for them. So Jonah Williams still out there. DJ Reader, reports have him, you know, pursued by multiple teams, which is really good to see because you didn't want it to get to a point where everyone was scared of that injury. Yeah. The fact that there are teams looking at him right now, the Bengals still in the mix. You know, that's great to see. We'll see where that ends up going with him, but he's still kind of weighing offers as we speak.
And you look at what defensive tackles are making, even coming off that injury, they're very coveted right now. I mean, you look at Wilkins' deal and Chris Jones' deal, and it's crazy right now. It's part of why I will continue to endorse the idea of trying to get Byron Murphy, because go get one of those guys when they're fresh out of college playing on a rookie contract. I think he transforms your whole defense, but that just tells me DJ is going to have a market, even if you got to get him back healthy again, just because everybody wants those guys. That and guards. Guards were making all the money today.
Yep, you're right. Look, everybody's realizing that the middle, solidifying the middle, is it's blowing up game plans. Like, it's just these dudes are ruining everything. The ones that get in there, and the Chris Joneses and the Aaron Donalds of the world, and the Bengals are like, we know. We've been telling you about it. It's eliminated us the last 2 years in the playoffs, right? Like, they know all about it. And it's why they were a couple years ago willing to finally pay Karras and Kappa and things like that. It was because of this thing and that has been coming their way. And the interior defensive line thing, I mean, this has been brewing. You don't find game changers after the first round. They hardly ever hit the open market. Christian Wilkins got paid out the wazoo because this never happens, that a guy who's a real dude really hits the market. Teams don't let them go. They keep them. Like, there's just only so many of them. And so if you ever have a chance to get one, a first round worthy candidate, first round graded defensive tackle, you need to be taking that. Like, there's just, it's so hard to find that and acquire that. And it gives you such a surplus on your roster if you can do it, way more so than it is. I mean, look, guys are out here getting tackles. You can find me a right tackle. You can find your right tackle for this year tomorrow. I'll get you a toe by 3 o'clock, right? Where are my Lebowski's people at? You know, I get you a tackle. I get you a tackle tomorrow at 3. Finger paint everything. But defensive tackle, a real one, a dude, they don't come along, man. They're hard to find. You got to take a shot when you can get one. Yeah, that is. I tweeted about that the other day, Byron Murphy. Like, it's just you have to be concerned. But that's draft talk. We're not in draft season right now. We're just
ahead of ourselves.
Part of this. It's part of this whole equation when you start talking about what you're getting. And so, yeah, the Bengals still looking for a defensive tackle. Looking for a right tackle. Mekhi Becton still out there, somebody that we have certainly mentioned as a potential answer there. Jermaine Illuminor he ended up signing with the Giants, who was kind of also in that range. Tyron Smith, who we mentioned, who would be a little bit riskier, high risk, high reward play, older, 33, but when healthy, maybe the best. And you could just start saying, screw it, give me the five best, move some pieces around between him and Brown. Maybe he'll play right tackle. Maybe the other guy play left tackle, whatever. Give me Tyron Smith, still available potentially for you as well as we speak. So there's options. There's definitely still mid options at defensive tackle, at offensive tackle for the Bengals to get into at this point.
And they'll all get their bag.
Oh, you're so mad about that.
I'm so mad.
Nobody hates bag more than you, and it's just everywhere right now.
If, like, some people used it, it would be okay, but they all have to use it.
Yeah.
And it's cool if certain people do it, but when, like, dudes on NFL Network do it, it's not cool.
No, don't be a dude doing it.
No, yeah. I'll take it out of every one of your stories, and you know it.
I've stopped doing it. You've fixed me.
Yeah.
You have unbroken me. I haven't bagged in a year and a half. I haven't bared. I haven't matchup nightmare in a long time. You have had your effect. You have shaped our coverage in a good way, for the better, in my opinion. It makes me want to go bag. It really does. It makes me want to go tweet about a bag. Send all your bag tweets to to at Dave Ninemitz, please.
Don't do it.
Yeah, send him all your anytime anybody references a bag, make sure you just at him and just send all of them so he sees them. I'm gonna
block so many people.
All right, so much more that's going to happen over the next couple of days. I'm going to have a podcast with Mo tomorrow, and then Jay and I will be back. We'll be here on Wednesday, probably Wednesday, whenever it feels like some big stuff has begun to wrap itself up, and we kind of after the 4 o'clock. Probably Wednesday evening, we'll have a full wrap there. And then, of course, emergency pods are always possible. You never know. We'll just pop one on if something crazy happens. But plenty more coming. Keep it locked here on the Growler. And we'll have all kinds of stuff firing your way. And, of course, at end of the week, we'll have Hude Light, myself, Mark Chalifo. Send your questions in as the week unfolds. And we'll be sure to get to those on there and recap everything that's happened. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the podcast. And we will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody.